You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Trevor Woods here from the Block M Podcast, an affiliate of the Fan First Sports Network. This week, for getting to know the opponent, it's rivalry week. It's for the state championship. It's the Michigan Wolverines, ranked at number 2 in the nation, heading to East Lansing to take on a scuffling Michigan State Spartans team. But throw the record books out, as they say, when it pertains to rivalries. Michigan State, this is pretty much all they have left to play for this season. Things are looking bleak there, as the weather will probably be on Saturday as well. A bit gloomy, but with me today is my press box, my right-hand man, Nick Durand. We're going to be talking all about the rivalry today. How are we doing today, Nick?
Doing good. How about you?
Hey, couldn't be better, man. So Michigan State, definitely different trajectories this season. The train is derailed for Michigan State, but Michigan seems like a well-oiled machine, a locomotive going full steam ahead and kind of been plowing everybody in their way that's in front of them. A couple years ago, the last time Michigan headed to East Lansing, it's wild the difference, Nick. They were 8-0 then. At the conclusion of that game, after beating Michigan's 37-33, Michigan lost. That made them 7-1 on the season. However, Michigan was able to bounce back from that game, and that's the last time they've lost a Big Ten game, back on October 30th of 2021, and they really turned their season around from that point, ended up making the college football playoff, of course, being Ohio State 42-27 at Michigan Stadium. Fast forward 2 years, and Mel Tucker, for reasons we're not going to really get into on this podcast, he is out, he's been fired, have a new head coach, interim head coach for that matter, in Harlan Barnett, and they're 2-4 on the season after winning their first two games. Michigan State's dropped 4 in a row. My question to you, Nick, is what is the night and day difference between 2021, where Michigan State, you know, they were even in the college football playoff rankings by the selection show, you know, Michigan State fans could tune in and they were right up there. And now look at where they're at. The Tucker issue is one thing, right? But they were kind of losing transfer players in the offseason before then. What do you assess as the current state of that Michigan State program heading into this rivalry matchup?
Yeah, for sure. It's not really looking great for them, like you alluded to earlier. Like, both of these programs have gone in like total opposite directions since that game just 2 years ago. I would say that, you know, State's been in a tough spot. That 21 roster that they had with guys like Kenneth Walker, Jaden Reed was having a really good year. Peyton Thorne was actually having a really good year for them. Those guys have left, and now they're relying on a lot of younger guys this year, especially like you talked about with Mel Tucker's gone. Their interim head coach Arlen Barnett, he kind of got put in a tough spot there. I don't really think people are putting a lot of blame on him, but it's just a lot of inexperience, a lot of young guys, and they're just in a tough spot right now.
Yeah, and with Peyton Thorne, who transferred to Auburn, out of the picture this season, which is actually kind of a shock that he left as far as the outside looking in. Started out the season with Noah Kim at quarterback, and Kim was the definition of average, completion percentage of 56.9%, 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions on the season. But Caton Hauser, he stepped in, performed pretty well last week, 27 of 45 on the season, 291 yards, 2 touchdowns to 1 interception. What do you think about the Michigan State offense? Obviously, the rankings for the offense, not looking so hot. They rank 109th in rushing offense. Passing offense isn't much better at 70th. They did get out to a lead against Rutgers last week before falling 27-24. Do you think they have any life or any momentum necessarily after losing a game that ended up being a gut punch?
Well, I would say it's probably tough to pull any momentum out of blowing a big lead like they did on Saturday against Rutgers. But I will say that the transition to Caton Hauser could make this game interesting, certainly because, you know, Michigan has probably seen Noah Kim on film all year, and now, you know, they're getting the change up with Caton Hauser. I mean, he didn't exactly like set the world on fire in his game, but it's certainly a different look. And he looked all right against Rutgers, and, you know, them blowing the lead, it wasn't all his fault. His defense kind of let him down there at the end of the game. But, you know, it'll certainly be an interesting look for the Michigan defense to see a new quarterback. You said earlier their rushing offense, it's not very good, although Nathan Carter, their running back, he's a little over 500 yards for the season. He's had some nice games, so he could be interesting to watch out for. But yeah, I don't really see them pulling a ton of momentum out of the Rutgers game, but it still would just be interesting because Michigan's going to see a new look at quarterback.
So with Mel Tucker getting fired and an interim head coach, they brought in old school coach Mark D'Antonio. He's back more along the lines of an advisory role. But I did find something interesting this week. Barnett was asked on Monday about D'Antonio's influence on the rivalry game on Saturday, because he's obviously had his fair share of success through the years in the rivalry. Didn't win every time. The past couple times kind of got their butts kicked by Michigan. But here's what Barnett said that I thought was interesting when he was asked about just, hey, you know, what can D'Antonio bring to the rivalry? He said, because he has a secret formula to success, I can't share it, so I'll just say it that way, if that's okay. What do you think about those comments, and do you think D'Antonio's influence can impact the game in any way, shape, or form, or do you think his involvement is a little bit overblown?
Well, if there is a secret formula, I'd certainly like to know what it is, because you know, his last couple of years in the rivalry against Jim Harbaugh, I think, off the top of my head, against Jim Harbaugh, he was 2-3.
The last time they faced D'Antonio's last season, which was 2019, it was a home game at Michigan Stadium. I refer to it as the Mark D'Antonio going away party, retirement party. Michigan won 44-10. But keep going, Nick.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to label that game. But yeah, I think much of the success that D'Antonio had was against like guys like Brady Hoke and Rich Rodriguez. And you know, he's been away from the program for a little while. You know, this even though it's still under the Harbaugh regime, like the last 2 years or so, like this has just been like a new version of Michigan. Like it's not the same Michigan that he'd been coaching against. So, I mean, certainly it's probably nice for Harlan Barnett to have, you know, like Mark D'Antonio in his ear, you know, in an advisory role, but I don't really think like he's going to be involved in like a major way in terms of like, you know, establishing the game plan. He's not going to be the one, you know, down on the field calling signals or anything.
Yeah, and what I would say about the secret formula to success, apparently Michigan has to have a trouble with the snap. I guess D'Antonio's preparing for that in 2015, a trouble with the snap from the Michigan punter in the last play game. I guess in 2017, D'Antonio was, the secret formula was hoping there would be an absolute torrential downpour and then for John O'Connor, Michigan's quarterback, to be throwing the ball like he is Fran Tarkenton, but unfortunately into the hands of Michigan State defenders. But there is one key metric that got to give Michigan State some credit, and I wanted to ask you about, Nick, and see your thoughts. But Jim Harbaugh actually mentioned it this week, said that Michigan State had the best third down defense in the nation. Well, looking at the metrics right now, it looks like they're actually, from a conversion percentage perspective on third downs, they rank third in the nation. Their red zone defense is pretty good too. It is, I believe, it is 20th in the nation. But my question to you, Nick, is what has made Michigan State's defense tough on third downs when overall, you know, they're respectable? They're 36th in total defense, but what has made them elite so far on third downs, getting teams off the field?
I would say it's just keeping teams from getting ahead of the sticks, you know, making sure that they're not having a lot of success on first and second down, you know, create advantageous situations in third down, then it's easier to get off the field. But I would say, you know, he said that Michigan State's third down defense was best in the country. You said that the number is third, and they're third in the country. But according to the numbers I saw, Michigan's offense is actually number three in the country in third down conversion. So, It's a strength on a strength. Michigan's offense has been, you know, clicking on all cylinders all year, so it'll certainly be a good matchup at least.
Oh, no doubt about it. And yeah, strength on strength, and somebody's going to break. We'll see which team does in that respect. Now, obviously a lot happened last year, Nick, and we're not going to get into the nuts and bolts and the whole story. I think anybody listening to this podcast is either obviously a Michigan or Michigan State fan, and they're well aware of everything happened after the 29-7 Michigan victory concluded at Michigan Stadium last season, and a lot of things, unfortunate things happened in that tunnel, and then a lot of, you know, drama, unnecessary things happened in the aftermath. There are obviously some players who got arrested and charged with some things on the Michigan State side, and it's suspended by the Big Ten, and so on and so forth. My question is, though, as it pertains to Michigan, is now I need to preface this too. This entire week, Michigan players have really played it cool and close to the best. They're not giving Michigan State any bulletin board material. They pretty much saying they're putting what happened last year in the back burner. There was a Mike Samrasol quote I liked. He had a Harbaughism and says, a wise man forgives, a smart man forgets. Harbaugh's always remember. I think I'm getting that one right. And then basically Sainristol's saying that they're not completely forgetting about what happened. Obviously they remember what happened, but they're not going to allow that to get in the way of the task at hand. And Michigan linebacker Michael Barrett basically echoed those comments and saying, just got to keep your feet planted where they're in front of you and just kind of treat each opponent the same. So I think, personally, Trevor Woods' opinion is, yeah, it's going to be motivation. What they're saying behind closed doors is going to be different than what they're saying outwardly, as it should be. There's just no way, shape, or form you can escape what happened last year and forget about that. But it's all about what Blake Corum said. Corum said that what they're doing is they're just going to hit the playbook harder this week. They're going to hit the film room harder. They are going to hit the practice field harder, and that's going to be their source of motivation. It's not, as Corum said, they're not trying to rough up anybody. Sounds like they all want to play between the numbers. So that's my thoughts on it. And what are your thoughts, not only with what happened last year, but with what happened last time they played in East Lansing, the 37-33 loss? Seems like the amalgamation of both those 2 years together is all the motivation they'd ever need to take Michigan State seriously and keep on their mission, as Jim Harbaugh says, a happy mission.
Yeah, for sure. In my opinion, I think this is like a good definition of probably like what I would say is like a survive and advance type game. Like the only goal here is to win the game. You know, something special is building this year for Michigan. They're seven and oh, and I wouldn't want to see, you know, this season gets screwed up in any sort of way by like the extracurriculars, you know, taking a front seat in this game. You know, the mission is just to win the game. And you know, we hear it preached like all the time in rivalry games. Like, you don't want to see, like, you know, you just want to play the game. You don't want to like hit anybody after the whistle, get involved in any like scuffles or anything like that. So I think, like, I agree with what Michigan players have been kind of saying all week about, like, we just you know, kind of want to play the game, having like the goldfish mentality, and not necessarily like forgetting what happened last year, but like not letting that become the focus. And I think going back to Spartan Stadium this year is also a good motivator for them, because, you know, they're going to be playing in front of probably the most hostile crowd they've played in front of all year, and you know, they want to get the win. They want to send the Spartan fans home sad. You know, they were beaten the last time they were there, and they don't want to let that happen again.
Yeah, and Michigan has a lot of players, a lot of new faces, right? Even this season, a lot of great true freshmen that have contributed, like Samaj Morgan or Benjamin Hall. However, there's a lot of guys that were there in 2021, including Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy, who had a great touchdown pass in the game to Andrew Anthony, who's not with Michigan anymore. And he also had a fumble, though. That was a big turnover in the fourth quarter. So kind of those memories. McCarthy, he's a very forward thinker, but at the same time, they are football players, they are human, and any time you can use a bad occurrence to kind of fuel you or just to look in the mirror and say, never again, it's never going to happen again. So between McCarthy and some other players on the Michigan team, I think they have that within them, and I think that will really serve them well come Saturday night, a night where Michigan State, actually, I got to give them credit, they have some cool-looking dark black uniforms. Quick take on that. Did you see those?
Yeah, it'll be nice. I have not seen them yet, but it'll be nice to see. I've always, like, you know, I hate to say this, but I've always kind of liked when, like, Michigan State, like, breaks out the alternate uniforms, because I think, like, they've had some good designs in recent years, except for, like, the ones with, like, the neon. I don't like
those.
Oh,
that, yeah, that was...
Usually they do a pretty good job.
Yeah, that one was universally hated, not only, like, by Michigan fans, but by Michigan State fans and nationally as well, that it was just some... I don't know what the hell it was, but yeah, this year, got to give them credit. They look kind of cool. I also like the Indianapolis Colts ones they just unveiled, called Indy Knights. They're unveiling it during a noon game, but I digress, getting a little off track here in a good way. But back to Michigan State. Now, they, not necessarily bulletin board material, I don't want to classify it as that, but yesterday, Michigan State cornerback Dylan Tatum, he talked about how he thinks the Spartans can pull off the upset against Michigan, saying that you can doubt us all you want, but we're going to go out there and give them our best shot. He said, this is the game. It's important. It matters. It matters the freaking most. He said they're going to go out there and ball, and he concluded by saying, I believe we're going to win this football game. Now, we've talked about how these teams are in different trajectories, and Michigan, they have outscored opponents by an average of 32.7 points per game this season. That's the best margin in the nation. What do you think of Tatum's comments, and is that reality in any sense of the word, or is that just pretty much far-fetched?
Well, I certainly wouldn't have expected him to go up there and say, yeah, we're going to get our butts kicked this weekend, but...
Well, you probably should have.
Just kidding. I don't really agree with what he had to say, but... You know, on paper, this game really shouldn't be close. You know, Michigan's the more talented team. They've been clicking on all cylinders all year. You know, Michigan State's been scuffling, and you know, his message about, you know, we're gonna give them everything we've got. You know, I think every team that Michigan's playing this year kind of has that same sentiment. Michigan's been the top dog in the Big Ten for the last 2 years. You know, everybody wants to play them. Everybody's going to give them their best shot. And you know, year in and year out, this game in particular for Michigan State, this is the one that they circle on the calendar every year. They always give Michigan their best. So I would expect nothing less from them. But you know, I still don't really think they're gonna. You know, I don't think it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, and you know, there's a quote, proverb, I guess you could call it, but a hungry dog is a dangerous dog. And what Tatum alluded to is, he said, it's the game, it's the freaking game, it means the most. And there's another Michigan State player, forget his name right now, but he also said this week that it doesn't matter if either team was 0 for the last 49, they're going to still come in with some juice for this one. So, yeah, but like you said, Nick, Michigan's used to it at this point. They're back-to-back Big Ten champions. They've had a bullseye on their chest for a while, week in, week out. Look at what happened against Indiana last week. Indiana played pretty darn tough in the first half, especially that first quarter. Had a 7-0 lead, but that ended up being 52-7 defeat for the Hoosiers. So yeah, I expect Michigan State to come out there and give them all they got, and probably conceivably, realistically, they're going to punch themselves out. But can't underestimate a rivalry game. One thing that some Michigan coordinators and coaches have said this week, and you know, Michigan State in these rivalry games, they like to have trick plays. So Michigan's going to be on their toes, and if Michigan's true to their word, they're going to prepare for this one like they prepared for every other one. And what that means is they're going to come out there, they're not going to have a lot of penalties. They're going to play balanced football on offense, pass-run ratio close to 50%, and the defense isn't going to give up many points. What is your general thoughts, predictions? What do you think is going to end up happening besides you thinking it's going to be a runaway score for Michigan?
Yeah, I don't really think that Michigan has to come in like with the attitude of like it. You know, this is a rivalry game. This is Michigan State. Let me rephrase that. They don't need to come in with the attitude of like, we got to go out there and win this game by 50 points or whatever. You know, if they just, you know, stay true to their game plan, stay disciplined, like we've seen them do all year, you know, not get phased in when there's a little bit of adversity like there was last week. You know, they were just able to stick to their fundamentals, and they were able to run away with it just because that's the team that they are. And so I would say, I think this one will be a little bit close early just because of the new quarterback for Michigan State will kind of, you know, maybe make them, struggle just for a little bit. But I think that Michigan's going to pull away with it in the end, maybe win this one by comfortable 20 points, I would say.
Yeah, which would be under the betting line, but Michigan could care less as a team, betting line, or anything other than a W at the end of it. Exactly. That's what Jim Harbaugh said earlier this year. He said sometimes there's too much pressure for the team to win by a lot, the expectations from the outside world looking at them, when really they just want to win by one. That's the goal, win by one. So, yeah, we're going to see what happens on Saturday night. It should be, to start out with, a rowdy atmosphere in East Lansing, over 70,000 fans. But as J.J. McCarthy said about away games in the past, he loves by halftime where they become quiet as a mouse. So we'll see if that ends up becoming the fate of the Sparty faithful on Saturday night. Nick Duran, thanks so much for coming on, and looking forward to all our other endeavors in the press boxes throughout the season. Still got some games left this year, and it's been a blast. It's going to continue to be, and I think it's going to continue to be for the Michigan team as well. So thanks, Nick, for coming on. You want to tell people where they can find you on social media?
Yeah, you can find my written work on the Mason Brew website, and you can also follow me on Twitter, or the app formerly known as Twitter, at MJDuran15.
Yes, the app formerly known as Twitter X. But before I get out of here today, we're excited about this next announcement. Tom Brady and the team at Autograph have just announced the release of a game-changing new app that recognizes Michigan fans for their acts of fandom. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to all your favorite Michigan content,
fan challenges and exclusive rewards for diehard Wolverines, all for doing the things you already do, like listening to this podcast. Click the link in the description of this podcast and use our code MBREW to download the Autograph app for free today. And once again, this has been Trevor Woods. You can follow me on X at Woods Football, and we'll be talking to you at the conclusion of Michigan-Michigan State for the postgame.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Action podcast.